Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
And today we're talking about minute 198 of part 6, Something Darker. It's going to start with Wonder Woman fighting a few parademons atop the keep. And then the minute is going to end with Aquaman and Cyborg confronting Steppenwolf. So in this minute, Batman kind of assists Wonder Woman in killing some parademons. Superman will have a moment here as well where he visits Alfred at Wayne's manor. It's not technically his manor, but it's his new condo or whatever he's got here, his villa. And then, Aquaman and Cyborg will be confronting Steppenwolf. They have infiltrated the keep, and now they're here at the final boss. So everyone has a little bit of a moment here. All the everyone except Flash. Nathan, what's your thoughts on this minute?
It's a good minute. It's a good give us a little break from all of the nonstop action that we've been talking about for a week straight. It's a pretty solid minute. I think the beginning lingers a little too hard, but it ends, with hope. So it's decent.
Yeah, I would say, one of the coolest parts of this minute is Wonder Woman fighting some parademons. I think that the assist from Batman kind of steals the thunder from her from doing one more cool thing. Because I really enjoyed her fighting parademons. I think it looks really cool. The shot of gunfire behind her looks really cool until then it cuts over to Batman and he kind of has anytime, I just saved you, but we're cool. It's like, I still don't like the way you look in that cowl. So, not totally for it, but it would have been cool to just see Wonder Woman deal with it because you just had your gunfire moment in the last minute.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I am going to, again, advocate for the movie and its storytelling. Wonder Woman saved Batman twice when he was in the Batmobile, so it is, kind of fitting that he is returning the favor. In no ways did Wonder Woman seem outmatched by the parademons that she was handling. So the assist kind of wasn't necessarily needed.
Necessary.
It was just I'm going to do this because I got all my guys on this side. So let me just swing this gun over and help you out. I'm about to leave the gun, but it's still got ammo in it, so let me just use it, and then I'll blow it up and leave.
Very, very interesting for him to use that gun and then destroy it. I thought it was very clever.
You don't want anybody jumping back on it.
Yeah, you don't want anyone back on it, as we'll see later in the movie. Cause you should have done it to all of them. Wonder Woman, just a really cool, I really love just the picture of her fighting those parademons and having the gunfire behind her. It's just a really, really cool shot, really epic looking. And then Batman destroying the turret. And then we'll cut over to the, he'll leap off the cliff there, get another kind of Batman silhouette, do another tumble, shoot a couple other parademons, and then it looks like he'll start the process over again. So that might be his objective right now. It's destroy every turret, take over one post, go to the next one, and then repeat until you've done this to every single outpost.
Yeah, that's World War II military tactics.
Mm-hmm. Or similar to that video game you play nowadays. Where it's your objective is to destroy each.
Oh, Helldivers? Yeah, it did seem very Helldiver-esque in a sense. Even when I was speaking about let me just use all this ammunition in this gun and then I'll leave and
destroy
my other normal stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that seems to be his like the goal that he's created for himself is like, I entrust the superheroes to go do their thing, and I will support by being the ninja who will destroy every single turret on this fortress. And so it's just really cool. And there's no iconic, or I should say, there's no Batman iconography on the device, the explosive device itself. You could argue that it has that tech manual that Patrick Tatopoulos designed for the explosive. I don't see it, but then again, that is kind of the point of Batman's technology in this universe, is that it is kind of just sleek, modern, and very like rock and roll looking. So it's just like, here's the explosive. It looks like a big pocket Wi-Fi router. And then it explodes, of course, but it's like, normally people are like, we want something that looks like a bat bomb, you know, on there,
I guess. Yeah.
From like the Schumacher series or something like that.
It keeps the same sound bite that, Tatopoulos used in like other Batman stuff, I think.
Like the Batmobile has some noises that,
yeah, the Batmobile has some beeping noises in it, like for the target lock and everything. I also want to say, I think the javelin itself sounded like this.
The javelin that KG Beast used.
Yeah. So it just maybe seems like, you know, hey, maybe he integrated Texas Instruments stuff into Wayne Tech, or, you know,
Hostile Takeover
or something like that. He said, man, that guy had the javelin. I gotta do something about this Texas Instrument. So I'm just going to buy it and make sure no one can... can just buy javelins off the street, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're going to take these javelins off the streets. That's what Batman's Clean Up Gotham was, his Clean Up Gotham project in this interim period.
Yeah. We're going to cut back over to the Wayne estate. This is a very prolific deleted scene from the theatrical cut. Was this a deleted scene in the theatrical cut that was shown? I don't remember.
But I do remember that this was the scene that they showcased the new suit in. Or I remember them releasing like a clip of the black and white suit, and it was
so
for this scene here, I'm fairly certain.
In the trailers, we see the whiskey glass, the rumble. Alfred looks up. He says, "No, let's hope you're not too late."
Yeah.
And never seeing who he was talking to. A lot of people thought he was talking to Superman, of course. And then a lot of people didn't know if he was talking to like a Green Lantern. There was speculation on that as well. But it makes sense that it was Superman. And, you know, I don't know that we ever saw him in the red and blue. I want to say we did. But then when we see it here, I believe it was either the DC fandom, or it was when Zack Snyder had his interview with the Nerd Queens, and that he showed an exclusive clip for them. That was this scene here, and it was first time seeing the black and charcoal Superman suit, the way that they color corrected the suit for the first time showing the black suit Superman, and it looks really good in this scene, as it has always done.
It looks really excellent in this scene.
One of my favorite parts about this suit when it shows up is that charcoal cape. Like the way they've contrasted the monochrome colors.
Yeah.
Having the silver S with the white highlights, and then the belt, you know, the white belt, silver belt there, and then the charcoal cape on the black. It's just excellent, excellent color correcting for the suit. It looks really well. It matches his hair. It's a really nice looking color palette that they've got here. And then, of course, with the way Michael Wilkinson designed the suit, there's a bit of a metallic underplating to the suit. So in the fabric, the highlights pop out more because that metal, or I guess it's like a more of like a aluminum reflection, it's coming out through the suit to make it super shiny. And it's just really, really really good costume design that we have here.
The addition of like the gloss coming from like this black to like the muted blue, or the flat blue, I guess. You know, that seemed more fabric-y. This seems more like rubber suit kind of, but it's very indicative of a comic book character. Of a comic book character?
Indicative.
Either one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great lighting, great gloss work. I dig that, like, it's all, like, the main light source is...
The moon.
Is the moon. You know, there's lights, obviously, in, like, this little garage area that, that Alfred's working in. But the fact that that moon is, like, kicking, and it's not a sun, you know? Like, that's what's getting me. Yeah. So now we're fighting in nighttime, and we're fighting in Batman terms. You know, we're not doing middle of the day in the middle of a city fight. Which is, you know, kind of walking on eggshells with that. But yeah, this moonlight is really excellent. And the way that it's just making the suit shine and the water behind him shine is very, very pretty.
Yeah. I really like, so the beginning of this shot, we'll start with a very rustic kind of environment. We'll see the kind of walnut workbench that Alfred is using. It's on top of this 1957, I want to say, like 1957 Aston Martin that we, yeah, it is 57. The same one that we saw in Dawn of Justice that he drove to the Lex Luthor gala. Very iconic for being in James Bond's films. I believe the Roger Moore era. And this is it's a beautiful kind of like midnight green 1957 Aston Martin, very beautiful car that Alfred is working on. And his clothing, the environment of kind of like this garage and the car itself, it all matches aesthetically. So it's a very beautiful work area for Alfred. It's almost like this is Alfred's world. Whereas, you know, if you can picture Gotham for Batman, like, What is Alfred's life look like? What is his Themyscira? And it's like this garage with like this brown vest and like the, you know, the kind of what do you call it? The type of tie that he has, where it's like that kind of cloth fabric tie.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I don't know, tweed maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
Woven wool or some shit.
Wool tie. Yeah. The aesthetic here is just like, this just screams like this is Alfred's domain here. And then you'll see Superman come in, and this will be the first time Superman and Alfred are interacting with each other in the cinematic universe, and like, this is stuff that we want to see. And it's just a great moment between the two characters. Obviously, of course, we have Jeremy Irons and Henry Cavill sharing a scene together, so this as well is just a nice moment to have with these two characters. And it's also wholesome, like it's not like they want to be friends. He's wanted Bruce Wayne to see the good in Superman. He's wanted Batman to repent for what he's done to Superman. And so this moment here just has so much weight of like finally meeting each other. But at the same time, because Superman is so powerful, like he's already known who Alfred is for a long time. And it's only now that Alfred is seeing this God for the first time face to face. Like, just
yeah,
like, you're the guy that I've been studying about and reading about on the computer and stuff when I was helping Batman do nefarious things. And I'm just glad you're here now.
It's hope. Like Alfred is, you know, that side of the hopefulness of, you know, he is not our enemy kind of deal. And he's like, and he shows up at his front door and he's like, dude, you were the guy I was telling him about. Like, you're here, man. You're it. You're my hero, dude. That kind of thing where it's like, oh, this is really cool. This is sweet. This is you know,
yeah.
How'd you get past the defense system? I really want you to be friends
with my son.
Yeah, really. Yeah. That's what it is. It's like, you're supposed to be friends with my kid. And you're like the good guy. Like, you're the one that I wanted. Good
influence to him.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, you are the friend I wanted my kid to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a really good moment.
But yeah, it's a very, very cottage core, upper class cottage core.
Cottage core. Yeah. It's the billionaire's cottage core.
It is. I think minimalistic, you know, Seattle. But yeah. With money.
Yeah, there's got to be a term for this aesthetic. I can't quite figure it out right now, but it's, yeah, with the tortoiseshell glasses, you know?
Yeah, like he's got, you know, he's got a teak dinner table that is on his side of the house.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely an aesthetic here. I do want to know what this would be called. But I do like that idea. We should just call it Alfred Core. Like, that's the aesthetic. That
it could be.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that, like, it's very reminiscent of how Zack Snyder kind of lives his life. From what I've seen when I've seen, you know, interviews with him in his office, like his home office, and his pictures of, like, his awesome looking house or studio that he was working at, and it was very reminiscent of this like lakeside villa kind of, mm-hmm. You know, it had the views, it had the minimalist way of like architecture and interior design. You know, he had his shelves with just his very meticulously placed artifacts. You know, he's got artifacts and shit. Him and Deborah, they got cool stuff in their office that I've seen from just like the live cast interviews that he's had. It's like, oh, and you're wearing a vest with a tie, like you are doing. You dress your Alfred to be you, which is really cool. Like, you put yourself into this. You're the one that's, you know, seeing the top view of the chessboard, and you're playing the game.
Yeah. So it's otherwise just a very, very important scene to have. It's something that we always really wanted to see. I think it was really important to see this in the theatrical cut, and it's one of those scenes that I think, like that and Henry Cavill revisiting the scout ship, I think just the inclusion of those two scenes alone could have really strengthened the theatrical cut and made it not as poorly received. I think a lot of people would have forgiven a lot of the film had just these two scenes been in there. And I think these were just the two scenes that most people were most looking for. And I think the inclusion could have really helped it. The cutting of those scenes really hurt the film because the jump from Superman going ballistic and then showing up and talking about truth and justice, it's like, it was very like, just what is going on? Like, what is this that we're dealing with?
Yeah.
Here we see the humbleness of Superman as he returns to being, you know, just a lovable person. And that's what we have here. This is just a really good moment for Superman in this entire cinematic universe. Like, this is one of the best moments.
It's like him meeting a fan, or like him meeting somebody that is actually like on his side, you know,
I see it
someone
as
like, other than Lois Lane or his mom.
Yeah, I see it as similar to, I see it as a continuation from Dawn of Justice. And I see it as the same as the moment we had a few weeks ago with Sam Otten talking about Martha and Lois in the cornfield. Like, this is the other side of that. Like, he visited them when the sun was rising. He comes here now in the night to go visit Batman and Alfred. And, you know, he probably came here looking for Batman.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. He was retracing his steps. He's like, okay, well, I got to go find where my friends are at.
Yeah, yeah,
so
you're right.
To the scout ship.
And yeah, now he's coming here to visit them. And I see that as the same thing. Like, visiting Alfred is like no different than the way he was visiting his, you know, seeing his mom again. Just like, hey, I'm alive and I want to see my family. You know, I consider you guys friends and family. You know, I know we had some bad blood, but we worked through it, and now we're stronger for it. So yes, it's a really good, I think it's just a really smart moment, evolution of the character development for these characters to meet, to talk, and that this isn't something that Zack Snyder had to do in hindsight and be like, oh yeah, I should go back and film a scene between Jared Leto and Ben Affleck because I didn't do that before. Like, no, you guys knew that you wanted to have a scene with Henry Cavill and Jeremy Irons' characters because they were so strongly connected in Dawn of Justice. They just never actually met. And so this moment here is like, this is that. And it helps with the plot of the story. So it's just like, do this scene. This has to happen.
Yeah.
And that's why it should have been so important for the theatrical cut. But they thought it was of no value.
Oh, well, woulda, shoulda, coulda.
And they did in this version. Yeah. They redeemed themselves. In the next scene, we'll have, we'll come over to where Steppenwolf is keeping the Unity, and you'll see Aquaman and Cyborg arrive. Now, these are two characters that Aquaman has, we've seen him be the reluctant hero, but he's big on defending this planet. And, you know, he's kind of not trusted Cyborg before, but here they are together as teammates. And so this goes along with that, where, you know, we have our Cyborg Superman and we have kind of Aquaman who's more closely to Batman. So we see, again, this Aquaman, the Cyborg, like people who originally didn't get along, now they're stronger together and they're going to go fight the big bad Steppenwolf together and end this Unity and protect the planet. And so you kind of see this and you're like, ah, we're going to have another Trinity here soon. And it's just really cool to see this moment here. Really beautiful alien architecture, this porous, this like kind of entropic, almost like insect-like chitin-like kind of thing that you see here. It's beautiful volcanic rock meets organic alien hive insect stuff. It's a really cool blend between the kind of rock and organic. It's a really cool entrance. If I remember correctly, it's just a walkway that was built for the set.
Yeah.
Because we'll see like the Justice League when they interact with Darkseid in some way, we'll see that. But yeah, we have this moment here and this is a really cool cooling of the momentum as we start to prepare for Steppenwolf, and we want to make sure we kill the action for the moment, just bring it back down to zero and then get ready to crescendo again. This is a really cool moment here.
Yeah. Kind of takes knocking loudly to a whole another level, or whatever he said. Yeah, knock a little louder,
knock a little harder,
harder.
Gotta knock a little louder. Yeah, I mean, he is knocking louder here.
He came up to he went up to the window. You get, you know, because open window. But it also looks like this wall was like blown out, so we don't see this opening being made. They just kind of jump through it. But it is like a wrecked wall. Like you can see the exposed concrete or whatever. But there's no debris on like the ground for like, at least there's not as much debris on the ground for like, an entry explosion, but you know, maybe it got blown outward at one point. I don't really know, but, we don't get to see them open up this door or window. It's just there.
And now I'm thinking back to Monday's minute where the Batmobile shot that missile into the tower.
He was on the ground, though.
Yeah, it's not this high up, and it wouldn't have, like you said, there's no debris. This must have been created by the parademons.
Could have
beforehand.
Been.
Yeah, they Very had well this doorway.
I mean, Steppenwolf has been on this walkway, so
he's just been here in this kind of meditative state.
Yeah, so
communing maybe with the mother boxes.
Maybe before he made the whole. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm you know, getting hung up on semantics, but
no, I think it's a good thing to bring up, like, where this hole comes from. I mean, of course, it doesn't matter in terms of the story, but like, yeah, for us, like, putting the pieces together, we look to see if the action has told a story about how they entered this part here. But it is kind of the final boss room where you see, like, you've entered the palace, you've got to the holding chamber, and then you see here, and then you're like, okay, well, the boss is here.
Yeah.
He's communing with the artifact. There's no health bar yet because you haven't started the initiative yet. So it's right. Like the boss is just kind of in a state, you know, you got to plant your rally flag and maybe switch your guns around before you start the encounter. So it's like, this is the moment where the boss is just kind of like here in this kind of stasis until you bang the trident and say, hey, time to go. Let's start scrapping.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. And of course, Steppenwolf has all of his spikes out of, you know, his kind of chainmail armor. So you kind of see him as like, he's super spiky in this moment.
It's not as spiky, especially his arms. They're more like drag fins or something. So it seems to me like it's more of like,
play the more like your hair, here.
Like your hair standing up from electricity, and not like how we saw like angry Steppenwolf cutting out all of the arrows and doing all the spikes, you know.
Yeah,
this one seems more little his, muted. Like he's got goosebumps.
Like goosebumps, but it's like ebbing and flowing. It's like
Yeah, it's like static electricity flowing through him.
Yeah, it's moving around. It's on the fritz here. It looks really cool. Almost like he's breathing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. All right, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.